Okay, we left off discussing the Mishnah of Ayin Amud Aleph, distinguishing between the halacha of Kimle de Rabine, that Mises Poteres Asamama, and the halacha of Eino Loke Umishalim. We first mentioned that it's clear that these are two very distinct parshians. The halacha that you find of Misa Poteres Asamama, the classic example of Kimle de Rabine, is rooted in Parshas Mishpatim, based on the pasuk of the Lo Yieh Asam. And this is very different from what you found in Parshas Kiseise, the drasha of Kedei Rishasa. The Risha Chasat Tamachayva, Iya Tamachayvishim Shtei Rishayas, the halacha of Eino Loke Umeshalim. And in that context, the Gemara tells us in Makos and Afya Gimel that we saw that that is referring to a Risha Hamasura Lebezdin. So, first, in terms of its source, two different parshios, and even in terms of its scope, that qualification of the Gemara in Makos is referring to the drasha of Risha Chasat Tamachayva. This distinction we mentioned is highlighted by Reb Chaim. The Rambam in Hochos Mi'ila Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam writes, when it comes to the case of one who is Mo'o Behektish, then we assume that Loke Umishalim. And how, in fact, is it possible? Right? We pointed out that Reb Chaim demonstrated when it comes to the Chiyuv Mi'ila, it is not considered to be a normal case of Tashlume Mamon. It is considered to be a Pera'on Shel Mitzvah, and therefore it is not subject to that drasha risha chasata mechaivo. But the difficulty was the following, that the sugi in Psachim and Daf Chav Tesem and Aleph seems to disagree, because in that case the Gemara tells us in an instance of ha'ochel chametz shel hektish. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, since we are willing to assume that the principle of Kimle de Rabine will apply not only to Mises Bezen, but even to Achiv Kares of Achilas Chametz, in that case, we will assume lo ma'al. So therefore, isn't that clearly difficult? That the Sugim Sachim tells us that even the Isra Me'ila and Tashlume Me'ila is subject to Kimle de Rabine. So Reb Chaim pointed out that that is the marked distinction. We who assume that when it comes to Me'ila, you're dealing with an Isser of Malkus, so in such an instance, then it is governed by the halacha of Eino Loke Umishalim. That only applies to cases of Tashlume Mamon. And therefore, regarding Me'ila, the Rambam writes in Aleph Gimel that one is Loke and also Mishalim as Demei Me'ila. The case in Psachim is referring to not the halacha Rishachas. There, the case of Psachim is referring to the Kimle de Rabine, which according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana applies even to Chayvei Krisus as well. If that is the case, that is the halacha that the Misa or the Karis is Poteres HaSamamon, that is not limited to Irisha HaMasura LeBezdin, and in such a case there is no steer at all between what the Gemara suggests in Psachim Chavtes as opposed to the Rambam Aleph Gimel in Hilchos Mi'ilah. The further sugi we discussed at length was that in Chulin Daf Pei Aleph Mabez, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan maintains the following, that if you're dealing with Chayvei Misa Shogegin in Malkus, one is considered to be Chayiv. That was Chiddush number one of Rabbi Yochanan. Chiddush number two of Rabbi Yochanan is Chayvei Malkus Shogegin is Chayiv Mamon. Apparently, what is the Tzad HaShavah Shebehem, L'shitasi of the Gemara, and that is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if one is dealing with an Avera B'shogeg, that is not considered to be Risha Achas HaTamachayvo. And therefore, if you're dealing with Chayvei Misos B'shogeg, that does not exempt Malkus. If you're dealing with Chayvei Malkus B'shogeg, it doesn't exempt Mamon. Because that which is violated B'shogeg is not considered to be Risha Achas. And that is the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. So the obvious difficulty then is the following. How can you argue that if it is b'shogeg, we do not apply these principles? Isn't that exactly Tanit Vechizkia, the sukya in Suvas and Daf Lamed Hei, that Chayve Misos Shogegin Peturim in HaTashlumin? So how can Rabbi Yochanan attempt to argue that if it's Chayve Misos, which is b'shogeg, it doesn't exempt Malkus, Chayve Malkus b'shogeg doesn't exempt Mamon? How can that be? There's no difference between Shogeg and Mezid. Chayvei Misa Shogim Termina Tashlumin. The answer of Chaim pointed out was very simply the following. If you're dealing with the principle of Risha Chasata Mechaivo, that is the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan, that there is a marked difference between Shogeg as opposed to cases of Mezid. Shogeg is not considered to be labeled as Risha Chas, and therefore you cannot apply the Ptur. Tanit Vechizki is not based on Risha Chasata Mechaivo. That is the halacha of Kimle de Rabine, that Mises Poteres Asamamon, the pasuk of Lo Ye Asam, that can apply even in cases of Bishogig as well. And therefore, given Chavim Yisra Shogim Turnat Tashlumin, but yet still the Machlokas Amoraim, whether this would apply in the two other cases of Misa and Malkos or Malkos and Mammon. Then we saw the Tshuva Sarashba and Chelakei and Simen Yotes, where the Rashba was very explicit that the Gemara is willing to assume the principle of Kimnei D'Rabbani when it comes to a case of Rodei. The Sugi and Sanhedrin Adaf, Ayin Beis Amid Aleph. And the Maksha asked in the Tshuva Sarashba that how can this be? After all, when it comes to Rodei, why is that called Risha Chasata Machaibo? That is not considered to be a Risha HaMasura LeBezdin. The Maksha assumed, because after all there is a mitzvah satsala when it comes to cases of Rodev, but it is not considered to be a classic din misa. And therefore, how does the Gemara know to apply that principle of Risha Chasata Machaiva? The Rashba answers that no, the Gemara is not applying the principle of Risha Chasata Machaiva of Risha Masur LeBezdin. The Gemara is dealing with Kimlei D'Rabbanei. Kimlei D'Rabbanei is not required Risha Achasata Machaiva, and therefore the din rodev is sufficient to be able to invoke Kimlei D'Rabbanei, even if it's not the Risha HaMasur LeBezdin. We pointed out, and we'll have to see in later sugyas, one could answer that kasha in two ways. Maybe number one is Kimlei D'Rabbanei does not require a Risha HaMasur LeBezdin. Maybe number two, that midin rodev there are two halachos. Not only is there a chovas hatzala, but there also is a din misa incumbent upon the rodev as well. Maybe there are two halachos, and as we'll see, maybe there are differences. One could split, right, the different dinim of rodev, the mitzvah hatzala from the chiyuv misa, which is chal hagavra. But the Rashba writes that the case of Baba Mavteres is considered to be potter in achinami, because you don't require isha achas. We pointed out the chiddush nachiezer. If it would be a case of Baba Mavteres, not with an instance of those cases of Misa and Mammon, Shibur es Hakli, but you're dealing with the case of Misa and Malkus, that Rabbi Yochanan said you have to invoke Risha Chasata Mechaiva, maybe there would be no halacha in a case of Rodev of Misa and Malkus, that the halacha of Rodev would exempt the Chi of Malkus. That's based on Risha Chasata Mechaiva. And now we left off discussing the Shita of the Ri in light of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, we began discussing the Sugya Makos and Daf Dalet, tells us the following: in an instance of Meiden Anu Ish Ploni Shechayv L'Chaviru Masayim Zuz Eidus that Ruvain O Shimon Manin. It turns out the Nimtzu Zomimin. In such a case, Lokin Umishalmin. This is the Chiddush of Rabbi Meir. Right. This is what we will get to on Daf Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph. How is it possible of Lokin Umishalmin? After all, the Mishnah explains, Shalom Hashem Hamevin Lide Makos Mevin Lide Tashlumin. They're independent Mechayvim. The reason that one is Chayiv Malkus is because of Eidu Sheker Losane. The reason that one is Chayiv Mammon is because of Kasher Zaman. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says that there is nothing wrong with having two Chiyuvim. Rashi explains that that phrase, that Lo Hashem, Hashem means Hamikra, the Pasuk. In other words, that according to Rashi, this is how Tosus interprets, since you're dealing with two different Sukkim and two different Parshios, so in such a case, we can have a double Onesh. You can have an Onesh of Malkus and an Onesh of Mammon. Why is this true? Because there are two different Sukkim, there are two different Parshios. So Tosus is very bothered that Lechora, the opposite should be the case. If they are two different Parshios, then Lechora, you should apply the principles of Kimnei D'Rabbanei and Elokim Mishalem. If it would be a single parsha, that is a double onesh. Well, of course you don't apply other foreign principles. If the Torah says, as an example, in the case of Mosi Shemra, that the onesh is that the Baal is loke and mishalim knas, you cannot ask that what about the principle of in loke mishalim? The pasuk says that knas and v'yisro sam lo silisha. The pasuk has a twofold or a threefold onesh when it comes to a case of Mosi Shemra. The only time you can invoke these principles is when you have two independent partials, and then you have to question, are both fully enforced? What about the overriding principles of Kimlei and Risha Achas? It also explains that perhaps what Rashi means to say is the following, that if it was Trei Krai, if there would be two completely independent Sukkim, we'd be faced with the following difficulty. Ein lanu levato posuk echad, Lagamri v'yikayim ha'acher. How do you know which one would be the koveya? But if both of them would be based on the same pasuk, for example, kasher zamam. Then, if that was the case, we could argue that, you know, that even if one out of the two onshin is given, that still is considered to be a kiyum of kasher zamam. That's how Tosus understands Rashi's shita. That if there would be two independent parshios, we'd have a problem. But if, for example, both onshin were bitoras kasher zamam, then we could understand we'll give one, we won't give the other, but that will still be a fulfillment of kasher zamam, because the bottom line is that the eid is being punished for his eid shaker. He's receiving an onesh of kasher zamam. So the Ri says that that cannot be, because the Ri argues that, what do you mean? That if, in fact, a person was attempting to invoke a dual onesh, and he is proven to be an eid zomim, so kevan sharatza lechaivo shnaim, since he was trying to enforce a dual onesh, so therefore kasher zamam must be that he would receive a dual onesh as well. The Ri says that how can you argue that that is a fulfillment of kasher zamam if you were to argue that he was attempting to punish the individual with two and he would only receive one? That's not kasher zamam. The impression that you get from the Ri is kasher zamam is all or nothing. It must exactly duplicate the onesh that you were attempting to enforce. So Rabbi Chaim points out that the difficulty is it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Tesim Abayis mentions the following. Rabbi Yosef states that what happens if the Baal will go ahead and bring Edim that his wife was an Eishes Ishes Insa, the case of Motzi Shemra. So that is a dual chiyuv. On the one hand, that a chiyuv of Misa, that the woman will be killed for this of Eishes Ish, and also there's an element of Mama, the element of Hefsek Ksuva. So therefore, if in fact he's coming forward and stating that this is an Eishes in Shazinsa, then Eris in the Nisuin, in such a case it is a twofold accusation, Misa and that of Mama. But yet Rabbi Yosef says that all of a sudden the Av brings Edim, who are Mazim, the Edei HaBaal. So what is the halach in such a case? Rabbi Yosef says, Neheragin, the Edei HaBaal are killed, the Ein Misham and Mama. And they don't have to pay any mammon in any shape or form, because since we apply the principle of kimnei derabinei, so therefore, misa yes, but mammon no. So that's a very important case that the Gemara has, that even though we're dealing with a mechayiv of kasher zamam, and the attempt was a twofold onesh, misa and mammon, but as far as the edim are concerned, we'll assume misa yes, mammon no. So of course we assume that you can apply these principles to kasher zamam. And we don't simply dismiss it and argue that that is not called kasher zamam. So therefore, how can the Ri argue that in the earlier case, that if you were to give one and not the other, that would not be a fulfillment of kasher zamam? It's not true. No, the Gemara is explicit that chayiv misa, not mamon, and therefore that is still considered to be a case of kasher zamam. So Reb Chaim answers as follows. The difference is clear. The case of the Ri was a case of malchus and mamon. The case in the Gemara Sanhedrin Testament Beis is a case of misa and mamon. That, as we demonstrated, are two very different halachos. Misa and mamon is kimnei derabinei, lo yasam. Malchus and mamon is risha achas atanochayvo. When did the Ri maintain that if you're going to give one out of the two that is not considered to be sufficient, that is only when you're dealing with kedei rishasa, rishachas atamachayvo? Why? Because what is the lumdus of the Ri? Very simply, if the Torah insists on kasher zamam, and kasher zamam is A and B, that is all labeled as rishachas. That is not considered to be shtei rishayos. There's chiyu A, there's chiyu B. Why is it that the Eidim are being punished? The answer is because of kasher zamam. Kasher zamam is a unit of punishment, and therefore we don't call that shtei rishayos. And therefore, if you're dealing with malchus and mamon, so the Ri says, then of course kasher zamam requires that the Eidim receive both onshim. Very mistaver. Then in that case, malchus and mamon is considered to be rishachas. Because I'll ask you, what is the machayiv of malchus? What is the machayiv of mamon? The answer is that this is all part of the hazama. However, when it comes to misa and mamon, that's not true. That's not governed by whether it's rishachas or whether it's shtei rishayos. When it comes to misa and mamon, there the misa is poteres as a mamon. That's considered to be a hafka, as we saw earlier. Not just simply that Bitsua HaOnesh will only give one, as opposed to that of two. Well, if that is the case, so if Edim are killed, that uproots a chiyuv mamon. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef says in Sanhedrin, Dav Tesimud Beis, that even when it comes to Kasha Zaman, Kimle Derabne would apply, but not Rishachas Atamachayvo. A beautiful ray again to split, right, the two halachos of Kedei Rishaso as opposed to Lo Yosom, the concept of Kimle Bidarabimine. Now, right, a further possible nafkamina, further ha'ara. This again we'll discuss at greater length when we do Ayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara is dealing with the following cases, the assumption that when you're dealing with Kimle Derabine, it's necessary that both Onshin, both Chiyuvim, will surface simultaneously. And therefore, always the difficulty that if temporally there is some distinction, one is Chal before the other, can you ever invoke the principle of Kimle Derabine? So the Sugya of Ayin Mabeis, we'll have to discuss Kiryat Sarach Hanacha, Klutza Kemisha Hunchadamia, all those cases, because the assumption is that both Onshin and Chal Bavas Achas. In the cases that we mentioned yesterday, Ones Imefate. So we're dealing with cases where sometimes it could involve an Ones of Misa, a case of Vito, sometimes cases where it's a Chiyuv Kareis and Malkus in the case of, right, Achoso. So the Gemara says, for example, that even if you're dealing with a case of Achoso, if you're dealing with Vito, that's Kimnei Derabine. The fact that one is chayiv misa for Gili Arayis, that's going to exempt the chiyuv knas. If you're dealing with achoso, then you're dealing with kareis. Kareis is malkos. That's the halacha of enoloke umishalei. So whether there is a chiyuv knas of ones and mefate in Arayos, that will again depend on what is the iser erva. Whether it's an iser erva sheish bo misa, an erva sheish bo kareis, and that will reflect on this year the question of which principle do you invoke in order to exempt a chiyuv malkus. Good? Because the Gemara says, even if it's a choson, you can't apply kinder ravine, but it's a chiyuv kareis. So even if you disagree, right, with Rabbi Nechuni ben Hakana and maintain that you can't apply kinder ravine chavei krisus, but still there's a chiyuv malkus, and in aloke umishale. The difficulty, however, is the following. In that case that we're dealing with, the case of malkus and a case of knas in mamon, are both chiyuvim bevasachas? Are they in fact bevasachas? One could raise the kasha and the very Mishnah, Ksuvas and Daf Lamed Vav, even when it comes to a chiyuv misa as well. The iser erev and the chiyuv knas, are they bevasachas? See, what exactly is the difficulty? The following: when is it that a person violates gili arayos? When is it that one is chayiv the knas of ones imevata? Generally speaking, when it comes to, right, Isurei Bia, we discussed this at length last year, right, always Tchilas Bia, Ha'ar, is considered to be the Koveya. Tchilas Bia is considered to be a Maisa Bia. And therefore, already at that point in time, what is violated, right, the Isur of Erva. The Gemara even says a great Chiddush in the Sugin Yevamos, and Daf Nun Heim Aleph, and Daf Nun Heim Beis, that this is even true when it comes to Yibum. The Pasuk says, Yivamo Yavaleha, a Maisa Bia is necessary. At what point is the mitzvah of Yibum fulfilled? The Gemara says, Tchilas Bia. Tchilas Bia? We've discussed in the past the Tosus Nivamos, Tav Chafma Beis, that whenever you have, for example, Yibum that has to come onto Esed O Chalos Asay, let's say you have Chavi Lavim. So the mitzvah of Yibum is Doche the Yisr Lav. Let's assume a brother is a Kohen. Right, and he dies, and the brother is the Kohen Gadol, and all they had was Erisin, and Almana Mina Eris, and the Kohen Gadol is Nisr Lav, so Midaraisa, the Gemara says you can apply the principle of Esed Ophelosasei. Yes, so Tosus points out, but it's not going to allow all that much. All it's going to allow is a minimal amount that is necessary for the mitzvah of Yibum. And what is that minimal amount? Tchilas Bia, even for Yibum. Tchilas Bia is considered to be sufficient. The reason that's such a great Kiddush is if presumably the purpose of the mitzvah of Yibum is lahakim shem la'achiv, that will never occur when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum if all there is a tchilas bia, and sometimes all you're going to allow is a tchilas bia, right? The very great chiddush. That's what Tosus discusses in Yevamos and Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. Chaf Amar Beis is where Tosus points out that all you need for Yibum is tchilas bia, and Chaf Amar Aleph is where Tosus discusses that you should realize that it's a chiddush because there's no possibility of ever having a child as a result of Tchilas Bia. And Tosfos says, but you know, that pasuk of Bahaya Bachor Asher Tele doesn't mean what we always assume it means in Pshuto Shel Mikra. Bahaya Bachor Asher Tele means what? The child that is subsequently born is Yaakov Ashev Achim Hameis. Who is Achim Hameis? His uncle. That's what the pasuk means. His uncle. The Gemara says, no, it means Bahaya Bachor Asher Tele. It means the Bachor, the oldest sibling, right, is going to do Yivum. And he is the Malimakam of Achiv Hameis, of his brother. Achiv doesn't mean an uncle and nephew. So therefore, there's no absolute requirement that a child must be produced. Right? The Gemara uses the drashas, Pratla Ailanis, Pratla Saris, and the like. Okay, so when it comes to cases of Yisrei Bia, even when it comes to cases of Yivum Tchilas Bia, what about when it comes to the Chiyuv Knas, of Onis and Mefaten? Tchilas Bia. So Tosfos quotes Nivamus and Afnun Tesem and Aleph Dermaskel Ella that Rashi Shita is the Chiyuv Knas is only Bigmar Bia. Only Bigmar Bia. That requires a full act of Bia, not just simply a Tchilas Bia. So our Gemara of Ayin Amud Beis is so exact that when you invoke these principles of Akim Leder Rabine, both Chiyuvim must be Chal exactly Bebas Achas. So therefore, how does it work, right, in cases of ones mefate with an ones of miser, an ones of malchus? How would that work? This is the kasha that the Pnei Yeshua addresses in the Hakdama to Maseches Ksuvos. That if one should assume that knas is only b'shas gemar bia, and the chi of malchus, for example, is b'shas tchilas bia, so what is the Gemara bothered by? In alokim mishalim. The Chi of Malkus was already Chal, and the Chi of Knas only kicks in at a later time. The Pnei Yeshua answers with the following interesting Chiddush. Again, this will be very relevant for what we'll be discussing in the coming Shiurim. The Pnei Yeshua says it's true that a Chi of Misa or a Chi of Malkus is Chal b'tchilas bia. That's true. But what exactly does that mean? And what about the Gemar bia? The Gemar bia is nothing. The Gemar Bia is neutral. Of course not. Even on the Gemar Bia as well, that's still an act of Gilei Arayos. And therefore, on the Gemar Bia as well, there is a Chiyuv Misa, there is a Chiyuv Malkus, and that allows us to invoke Kim Leder Amine. In other words, that the Chiyuv Misa is an ongoing Chiyuv Misa. It may commence at Tchilas Bia, but certainly there's an Isser Erva in the Gemar Bia as well, the moment that the Chiyuv Knas will kick in, and in such a case, on that alone, one can go ahead and invoke Kim Leibed Rav Amine. That's the Chiddush that Pnei Yeshua writes. It's true, they may start at different times, but as long as the Isser is Nimshach, so in such a case, we can still invoke Kim Leibed Rav Amine, because the moment that the Chiyuv Mamon begins, it is accompanied with an Isser Erva. Even if it so happens, Isser Erva commenced, right, a little bit earlier, Vishas Tchilas Bia. And the Pnei Yeshua quotes Yerushalmi and Ksuvis, Tzvanad of Zayin and Aleph, right, that seems to support this idea that sometimes you can have an expanded or an extended Chiyuv. There the Yerushalmi is discussing the case of Hachosim Esapara Vedoshba. A person goes ahead and, right, it's chosim, an animal. I go ahead and I hire or borrow an animal from someone. I muzzle the animal and I have it work. So there are two problems. Number one is that there's an isra, losachsim shabadisha. So that's a chiyuv malchus. Number two is that when I go ahead and utilize his animal, I am obligated to feed that animal. So if I will work that animal and muzzle it, and I will give the animal back to the baal hachefetz, the baal habehema, and the animal has not eaten, there's a chiyuv tashlumin. Because part of the arrangement of the she'elo, or the schirus, was an assumption that I was obligated to feed this animal as well. So, again, what happens in that particular case? It's a case where there's a chiyuv malchus, there's a case where there's a chiyuv mamon. The Yerushalmi suggests the following, that maybe one could have argued that your chayiv malchus at the time of the chasima and the chiyuv tashlumin is mikan va'elech. And that's why maybe one could argue that lo ke'u mishalem, because there's a chiyuv malchus b'shas chasima and the chiyuv mamon continues. So the Yerushalmi quotes Rabbi Zeira that says that, wait a second, if a person will go ahead and set a fire on Shabbos, Madle Gidisho Shachavera, and it goes ahead and the fire spreads, so what would you argue? You don't apply Kimnei Rabine. You're going to argue that the Chilul Shabbos is only when the fire began, and then as it continues to burn, that's the Chiyuv Tashlumin? That's not true. We apply Kimnei Rabine under those conditions as well. So what exactly do you assume? That there's an extended Chiyuv, that the Chilul Shabbos continues. The Chasima continues. We don't assume that it only begins at a finite moment and then later the second Chiyuv will kick in. So that's exactly what the Pnei Yeshua writes when it comes to the cases of Loke u'Mishalem. And therefore, even though it's true that the Isra of Arayos is violated b'tchilas via, and Rashi writes that Gmarbi is necessary for a Chiyuv of Knas, nonetheless, you can still apply these principles of Loke u'Mishalem, Ein Loke u'Misham, Kidrabane, and the like. That's the Chiddush of Pnei Yeshua. Okay, next one. If you look in the Rabbi Kiveger, this is found in the Chiddushim and Ksuvis, and also found in the Tshuvis Rabbi Kiveger, Madura Kama, and Simen Kuf Samach Dalil. There Rabbi Kiveger discusses exactly this point. He quotes that Tosus Nivamas Nafkan Testament Alam. The Shita of Rashi, that the Chiyuv of Knas is only Vishas Kmarbiya. And again, the same issue, but Rabbi Kiveger raises the following question. If this is true, that there's no Chiyuv Knas Vishas Ha'ara, B'tchilas Biya, so how is it ever possible for there to be a Chiyuv Knas? Because what is Ha'ara? If Ha'ara just means minimal contact, barely any penetration whatsoever, Rabbi Kiveger writes, I understand. But the Gemara discusses at length what Ha'ara is. Maybe even Tchilas Biyah requires more penetration than just minimal contact. Maybe it requires Hachnasas Ha'atara. In which case, Rabbi Kiveger points out the following, that if Al Yidei Zed, the Besulim, would be broken, would be ruptured, in such a case, she already then is a Bu'ula at the time of the Chiyuv Knas. And you cannot have a Chiyuv Knas in a case of Ones and Mefata of a Ba'ula. It's only in a case of a Bisula. That's Rabbi Kiveger's issue. That if you assume that the Chiyuv Knas is only Chal B'Gemar Bia, so how can that be? The Chiyuv Knas is only when one is a Bisula, and one is not a Bisula necessarily at the time of Gemar Bia. Rabbi Kiveger writes the following. But look, since he was the one who is Masher B'Siloseha B'Tchilas Bia, so therefore there is a Chiyuv Knas. You're right. If there would have been a prior Maisa Bia Al Yedei Acherim, then he would not be Chayuv Knas. But since it was he, through the Tchilas Bia, that caused the Besulim to be ruptured in such a case, then there is a Chiyuv Knas. And then Rabbi Kiveger adds the following, which is relevant for us. Rabbi Kiveger writes that in a case, for example, of Chai Ve'Lavim, even though that you'll violate the Isser Lav at the time of the Tchilas Bia, and the Chiyuv Mamon is only going to kick in later at the time of the Gemar Bia, nonetheless, you can still invoke the principle of Ein Loke u'Mishalem, because after all, that means the following. If the Tchilas Bia was Be'iser, and that generated a Chiyuv Malkus, so therefore that act, that Tchilas Bia, cannot contribute to a Chiyuv Mamon. If there wouldn't have been the Tchilas Bia in that fashion, if a Tchilas Bia would have been done Al Yedei Acherim, you would not be Chayiv Knas. Well, if the Tchilas Bia is Be'iser, and you apply the principle of kimlei derabine, there cannot be a chiyuv knas, because the concept of a kimlei derabine tells us that that act cannot generate a chiyuv mamon, even if it's not exactly simultaneous. Even if you argue that the iser is violated b'tchilas bi'in, but since the tchilas bi'in is essential, so therefore that tchilas bi'in cannot result in a chiyuv knas, and therefore that's the Gemara's possibility of ein olokeh u'mishalem. And Rabbi Kveger then concludes, Usvarazu mamish kasvu hatosus gitten daf nun beis mudeis dramascha manasech. And this svara that I've just mentioned, that the tchilas bia cannot contribute to the chiyuv knas, if you'll invoke the kimnei derabine, it's as though it was done al yedei acher. He says, this is not my chiddush, this you find in Tosus gitten daf nun beis amud beis. What is that Tosus gitten daf nun beis amud beis? So this is the sugi of Hezek She'eino Nikar. And one of the cases of Hezek She'eino Nikar is the case of Minaseich. Hezek She'eino Nikar, let's assume some kipshuto, I caused someone to have Sid Mamo, not in common sense terms, by destroying his chepetz, by impairing its function, Alpidin, Amitami his taros. I take his chulin and I throw in Truma. Or a case of Minaseich. So in that instance, by looking at it, you're not going to be able to tell that there was any hefsid, but nonetheless, right, it cannot be used. The hefsid is nesar, or in certain cases, only allowed to be eaten by a kohen betara as opposed to others. So therefore, that is the hefsid mamon, a hefsid which is alpidin. What exactly is the case of menasech? So Rav says menasech is literally menasech mamish. I go ahead and I take a person's wine, I use it for avodah zarah. And Shmuel says no, menasech is ma'areh. You weren't Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but you took Yayin, which is Shal Yisr, and you mixed it into his wine. So it's a Taruvos of Yisr. Why didn't Shmuel assume the simple pshat of Rav that Menasech means Menasech? So Shmuel says the following, because if you're dealing with Menasech, of course you're potter from Tashlumin. You don't have to come on to Hezek Shinon Ikar. If it's Menasech, you're Chayav Misa for Avodah Zarah. And therefore, kimnei derabine. So that's why menaseich can't literally mean menaseich. Here, the p'tur is because it was hezek shenikar, which means in other cases you'd be chayiv mamon. So you can't be dealing with the real act of avodah zarah in such an instance. Of course, you'd be potter. Even in hezek nikar, you'd be potter. Even in that case of Menasech, this is what you'll see from the Tosus, if you haven't yet, the Dafayin Mabez, the timing also is tricky. Because after all, the Gemara says, shouldn't we argue that Mishas Hagba Mishayev Betashlumin? At the time that I went ahead and I took his Yayin, already that was an act of Gezel. I'm Chayev Betashlumin. And Mishayev Benafsho and the Chiyuv Misa is only going to kick in later, at the time of the Nisuch itself. So again, is this exactly aligned? Are they both considered to be simultaneous? So Tosus just writes the following line, that even though Hagbah lav tzarech Nisuchu, even though picking up the Yayin is not critical for the act of Nisuch, one could be Menasech even without that. Nonetheless, afilo hachipotu, you would still be potter in that case, Tosa says. Why? Because keva dashas nisuch lo mechayiv because of kimnei derabine. Because since at the time of nisuch you cannot be chayiv because there we would invoke kimnei derabine. Shas hagba nami miftu. You would be exempt even from the shas hagba as well. Because, for example, in a case of nischo acher, in a case of someone else would be menasech, I could return the gezel. I could say harisha chalafanecha. So Tosa says, if nisach ihu, if you were the one who was menasech, but you applied the principle of kimlei b'derabimine, that's as though it was done al yedei acherim. It wasn't as if you did it because you were exempt. So that's the chiddush that Tosa says, that even in a case of nisach ihu, if you will be manaseh, but if you apply kimnei derabine, that since that generated a chiyuv of misa, there cannot be a chiyuv mamon, that's comparable to a case where someone else were to go ahead and to do so. So Rabbi Kveger writes, isn't that exactly my chiddush? That in a case of tchilas bia be'iser, it's considered to be comparable to he'ara acher, someone else who did so, and therefore you would be potter. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Kveger writes. That if a person will perform an act which is be'iser, and we apply a chiyuv of kimnei derabanan, there's no chiyuv tashlumin, right? It's as though this was done al yidei acherim. That's what Tosus writes in the case of Nisuf. This is what Rabbi Kveger writes in the case of Tchilas Bia regarding Eino Loke Umeshamin. Okay, you have to take a look, a little technical, right? That's Rabbi Kveger's Ha'ara. How is that relevant for us? So, if you look in the Imir Moshe, this is the last point, Simin Lamed, at the very end of Os Chav Gimel, Imir Moshe writes the following. Not necessarily. What Rabbi Kveger suggests is not exactly the same thing that Tosus assumes. Rabbi Kveger's point is when you assume akim le'derabine or in loke mishalem, therefore there's no culpability, it's as though it was done al yedei acher. It's as though that someone else did a tchilas bia. And of course, you're going to be potter from a case of kanas. And that's exactly what Tosus says when it comes to the case of menasech. So the Imre Moshe writes, there's a fundamental difference between those two cases. Tosus's case of menasech is misa and mamon. And Rabbi Kveger's case of eno lokel mishalim is malkus and mamon. Even if one is willing to grant this chiddush that Tosa says, that if you're dealing with a chiyuv misa and mamon, that you apply a principle of kimnei derabanan, it is considered as though it was done al yedei acherim, because you are not culpable. That's only in misa and mamon. Because in misa and mamon, which is considered to be a hafgah, that misa is poteres as a mamon, there you can argue that the chiyuv mamon is non-existent. The chiyuv is kamishaino. However, in Rabbi Kveger's case, when you're dealing with an instance of malchus and mamon, that's not a hafga, that's rishachas atamachayva, which means that despite the fact that there are two tiers and two chiyuvim, in terms of bitsua ha'onesh, Bezin is only going to go ahead and enforce one, not enforce the other. There, one does not necessarily assume that legabe, the chiyuv mamon, is considered to be as though it was done al yedei acherim. This is the chiddush of Moshe, since it's so obvious, as we demonstrated, the two different principles. One cannot necessarily assume that what Tosus writes as far as kimnei derabine is true when it comes to eino loke umeshalim, right? That's the fifth sugya, right, that bears out that this essential difference between eino loke umeshalim as opposed to the cases of kimnei derabine. Take a look if you can at that piece in Rav Moshe. You'll appreciate it more when you see the sugya and daf ayin when we do those cases of nisuch and hadva and gezel and so on. Okay. The first sugya the Gemara discusses in light of our Mishnah, right, is the one regarding davar v'chatzi davar. The Mishnah gives us the following example, that in a case of Ganav al Pishnayim v'tavach ha-machar al pihem, if you have the same group of Edim that testified to Gneva and Tvicha, well, obviously the person is Chayav Dalet Behei, but the Mishnah tells us the following Chiddush, that even if it was al Pishnayim acherim, even if there were two Edei Gneva, two Edei Tvicha, in such a case is Chayav Dalet Behei. And the Gemara is bothered that why in fact should this be the case? After all, the pasuk tells us al pishnayim edim yakum davar, and the Gemara tells us that means davar v'lo chatzi davar. So in such a case, shouldn't we view the edei gneiva and edei tvicha as being chatzi davar? The Gemara says the maskana is, you know, in seeing the sugya, that there are three different applications, right? Two of which are the obvious extremes, and one which is the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham. Everyone agrees, right, in our case of the Mishnah, Ede Gneva, Ede Tvicha, that certainly is considered to be a Dover Shalem, that is not considered to be a Chatzi Dover at all. And the Gemara compares this to another case, this is quite important as well, a case of Kidesh Uba'al. If Shnaim Ormin Kidesh, Shnaim Ormin Ba'al, that's Pashup Shad according to Rov Rishon. We're dealing with a case of two that attest to the fact that she's an Eshes Ish. And then Shnaim Ormin Shabal doesn't mean Kidesh Uba'al in the sense of Nisuin, but Kidesh Uba'al in terms of Znus. So in such an instance, of course, that's considered to be legitimate Eidos. We don't require that Oso Ha'edim Hame'edim Shabal, they are the ones who are made Shekidesh. In such a case, that's called Davar, that's not called a Chatzi Davar. When is there a machlokis between Nacham and Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says the following case. When it comes to Shnei HaChazaka, if a person can establish a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, so in such a case, that is an indicator that he is in fact the Baal HaSada. So let's assume that the Cheskas Gimel Shanim, there's a window of time. You will not always have the same Eidim that can verify that you were utilizing the field for your one as your two as your three. So therefore, again, so the Gemara says the following. If you have one kat of Eidim, sha'ach l'shana rishona, and then a second and a third, what is the halacha? That is the machlokes. The Chachamim say that that is fine Eidus. And Rabbi Kiva says that no, you require cheskas gimel shanim. So therefore, that's considered to be a chatzi davar. Right? No Eidim can in fact attest to the fact that you have the din of Mufsak. Right, they do so decompartmentally, and you put them together. In such a case, that is considered to be chatzi davar, that is not the davar shalem. That is the machlokes. And then the Gemara gives us a third case that everyone agrees is considered to be a chatzi davar, and that's in cases of simani gadlus. If shnei simanim are necessary, and let's assume, for example, that you have shnei edim hameidim echad begaba, and two others who are made beechad bekresa. So in such a case, one here, one there. None of the Eidim can affirm Gadlus in such a case. That's a case that everyone agrees that that is considered to be Chatzi Davar. Those are the three different cases in the Gemara, right? The case of Gnev and Tvich, which is similar to Kiddush Ubal. The case of Shnei HaChazak, which is the Machlokes. The other extreme when it comes to Simani Gadlus. Of course, the difficulty is the Gemara is not exactly Magdir. What are the differences between these cases, case one, case two, and case three? This is what the Rishonim, right, discuss at length. The Havamin of the Gemara is Lema Masnisin to Loka Rabbi Akiva. That our mission is against Rabbi Akiva. In other words, that the case of Gnev and Tvicha is similar to the case of Shnei HaChazaka. So Abaye says, that's not true. Wouldn't Rabbi Akiva agree to a case of Kiddush Uba'al? So therefore, Gnev and Tvicha is like the case of Kiddush Uba'al. There's nothing at all to do with this machlokes. But the question to some extent still remains, why is that true? Why is it that we assume that the Eidei Tvicha or the Eidei Bia are considered to be a Davar Shalem and not a Chatzi Davar? After all, right? In both cases, their edus requires the earlier edus of the kat harishona. Tvicha without gneva is nothing. Bia without kidesh is nothing. So in such a case, the question still has to be addressed, and that is, why is it that we assume? You're right. Abai just tells you, as a mashal, just as Baal, so too Tavach. But enochinami, why is it that we so obviously consider those cases as being a davar shalem and not being a chatzi davar? The simple explanation of the Gemara is, well, because even though B requires A, right, but A doesn't require B. After all, the edus of Gneva is significant, the edus of Kidesh is significant. So therefore, since the first half doesn't require the second half, so therefore it's called the davar shalem. But that's also difficult. What was our question, now? When the Gemara suggested they must listen to Rabbi Akiva, what was troubling the Gemara? Which Eidos was difficult? The Ekenev Eidos? were the tvicheidus, which was the problematic one. The Boshev Shad, the Geneva was not a problem. Geneva is not a chatzi dava. Geneva, of course, is a davar shalim. The difficulty is, why is the Ede Tvicha considered to be a davar shalim? Now, why isn't that called a chatzi dava? This is exactly what Rashi writes explicitly. The Ramaskal dava, Rashi says, Vahane Ede Tvicha. Rashi says, and therefore, what's the kasha of the Gemara? The Ede Tvicha should be called a chatzi dava. The Ede Gneva, of course, is a davar shalim, because Gneva is independent Edus. Kefel, Karen, I understand. The question is, why do we call the Tvicha a davar shalim? That's the question of the Gemara. So what's the answer of the Gemara then? Because A is independent of B. The question was not the independence of A. The question is, how do you call B, Tvicha or Bia, a davar shalim? And the answer is, because you could have other Edus without that. How exactly does that address the question? Of course, if you were asking me whether Gneva is independent, my answer would be, of course, you can have Gneva without Tvicha. But if the question of the Gemara, as Rashi frames, is, Vahane Ede Tvicha, that's the question. How, in fact, is this, does this happen? So just by way of introduction, perhaps you see from the Gemara the following. The Torah requires that Eidus has to be that which is a davar shalom. What exactly does that mean? It means the requirement is the Edom have to testify regarding what? So perhaps the Chiddush is the following. That there's no halacha that the Edom have to be made al ha-davar shalem. The Edom have to testify regarding that which is davar shalem. In other words, that the testimony of Edom has to embrace every detail. Not necessarily. That's not what the Pasuk says. Pasuk says, "Alpi shneim edim yakum davar, yakum davar." What does that mean? That in order for edus to be called davar, as opposed to chatzi davar, we require yakum davar. Yakum davar means that alpi edusam yakum davar shalim. It means that their edus will allow one to establish the case. If not, that is considered to be a chatzi davar. The Torah does not say that they don't have to be made from A to Z, lehoid al davar shalem, al pi shnayim edim or shnei edim yakum davar, al pi edusam yakum davar shalem. That nuance is very significant. Because after all, if I were to ask you, that how is it that we establish the chiyuv of Dalet Vehei? Is that considered to be a davar shalim or is it not? It's true that the edim are not being made on every aspect of the case, but as far as the ability to establish the chiyuv of Dalet Vehei, as far as yakum davar shalim, to establish that this was an eshes ishes insa, so therefore the edus of bia, the edus of tvicha, that is considered to be intact. Al yedei hakata achron, that is considered to be mikaymi davar akosav medaber. That is considered to be a case where the chiyuv is established as a result of their edus. The issue, however, is the following. What about regarding the katarishon? We're addressing the chiyuv dalet vehei. We're addressing the issue where this is an Eishes Ishes Insa. That's the Din Torah. Perhaps one could possess the following Chiddush. The issue is, but it's made up of two different halves. The first Eidus is only Kiddush. Kiddush is not enough to establish any measure of Chiyuv as an Eishes Ishes Insa. Ganav is insufficient to be able to establish any chiyuv of dalet vehei. So therefore, if our din Torah is whether this person is chayiv dalet vehei, if our din Torah is whether this is neshes ishes insa, so as far as the kata achron is concerned, I could envision that you could call that mikaymi davar. The chiyuv is established as a result of their edus. But what about as far as the first half is concerned? the Gneva, the Kidesh, isn't that considered to be a Chatzi Davar? And if that is a Chatzi Davar, that cannot even be used to establish the Chiyuv of Dalet Vehei. If the Eidus HaRishon is a Chatzi Davar, that can't be used to establish Yisiyas and Eishes Ish, Shizinsa. Maybe then, that's exactly the Chiddush of the Gemara. No. We don't call Gneva a Chatzi Davar. We don't call Kidesh a Chatzi Davar, because that Eidus is certainly independent Eidus. Eidus A, of course that functions independently. That's meaningful Eidus even of itself. Well, if that is not labeled as a Chatzi Davar, that is what allows us to view the Eidus HaAchron as Yakum Davar. This is not an Eidus which is made up of half Eidus that is brought together. The Eidus HaAchron is what establishes the Chiyuv. But you'll argue, but what do you mean? That was done through a composite of an initial Eidus that was incomplete? That wasn't enough to create the Chiyuv? The answer is that Eidus itself is meaningful. And therefore, that's exactly the teretz of the Gemara, that since A is independent, this is not called a Chatzi Eidus. What was our question? We're not interested in A. We want to know whether B is considered to be a Chatzi Davar or Davar Shomer. Perhaps the answer is the following, that in terms of Eidus B, that is called Yakum Davar. But if L'kayim es HaDavar, you require A, B, isn't that called a Chatzi Eidus? The answer is no. A is considered to be independently significant. Now, just to elaborate the following, let's deal with the sheet of the Rif. And you'll see how this comes to expression. In the case of Shnei HaChazaka, what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim? Whether this is called a Chatzi Eidus, whether this is not called a Chatzi Eidus. How can the Chachamim say that this is not called a Chatzi Davar? How is that considered to be significant? You have two Eidim that say that he was the Muchsak for a year. Yeah, but that's not enough. How can you say that that's considered to be Eidus of a Davar Shomer? So the Rif writes in Bava Basra and Daf Nun Vav Meralev, this is what our Tosus quotes, this is what the Baal HaMor in our Sugya, if you haven't yet seen, take a look at the Baal HaMor in Mochamos. They begin with the sheet of the Rif. That the Rif tell us, you know why according to the Chachamim this is considered to be a Davar Shalem? Because even the first unit, their Eidus is meaningful. Mahani Eidusim al Kalpanim le'inyin tashlume peiros. Because that also is independent Eidus. That Eidus itself has some meaning, some independence. So therefore, we view that, according to the Chum, as being a Davar Shalem. What does it mean that it's relevant Lagavi Achilas Peros? Yeah, and to some extent, it's almost ironic. What do you mean it's Nafkamina is Lagavi Tashnoe Peros? That means the following. If it turns out that the claim that this field of the mind is wrong, this is not a seamless Eidus. I'm claiming that I am the Baal HaSad and I have a Cheskes Gemoshani. And I bring these Eidim to establish that I am the Mochsak. So how is this Eidus relevant? If it turns out that I cannot prove my case and I do not have a Cheskes Gemoshani, I am obligated to pay for the payros that I consume during that first year. I have to pay the Marakama. And the Eidus that I brought is going to be used against me because there are Eidim that will testify that you consume Peros for year one and for year two. That's an interesting Chiddush that the Rif writes. That in those cases, the Eidus of year one is relevant because that can establish Tashlume Peros. But just realize that the Tashlume Peros is at odds with the purpose of the Eidus. The purpose of the Eidus is to establish that I am the Baal HaSadeh. And the Nafkamina is Tashlume Peros if I'm unable to do so. But that's the chiddush that the Rif writes according to the Chachamim. The fact that the Eidus is meaningful in an independent way, it has an independent meaning and function, that is called a davar shalim. In other words, a chatzi davar, according to the Chachamim, means the following. That Eidus that doesn't have any tokef, any mashmos, any function independently. If the Eidus could function independently, that is called a davar shalim. Even the Chachamim agree to that. The Chachamim simply argue that Shana Rishon is relevant. It's relevant as far as Tashlumei Peros are concerned. And what is the view of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva just adds one word. Right? When we argue that Davar Shalim means that they just has to have tokef, it has to have mashmos, it has to have meaning, it has to have function. Rabbi Akiva would just add simply the following phrase, right? Function, meaning, right? In context, the Bosom HaMizgeres, it has meaning. It has relevance in something unrelated. It has relevance almost in an opposite fashion, that if you can't prove that you are the Mufsak, then you're going to have to pay for a Chiyuv Peros based on the Eidus HaRishonim. Rabbi Akiva argues that that's irrelevant. When we say that something is a davar shalim, it means ba'oso hamizkeres. You're trying to demonstrate that you are the Baal HaSada. The fact that you have witnesses that can affirm that you were there for 1 year, how relevant is that, and able to independently demonstrate that you have it? Didn't buy them. So the maksha of the Gemara, the havimin of the Gemara was the following, that Gneva is comparable to Shana Rishona. In what sense? That in a case of Gneva, well, of course, that's relevant. That's relevant when it comes to Karen. That's relevant when it comes to Kefel. Is it relevant, Eidus, to say that this person stole a chayfetz? Of course. It's relevant for Dinim Daraisa. But the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva's relevance is insufficient. You need relevance, Rebosa HaMizkeres, in the context of the din. Here the issue is one of whether the person is chayiv dalet vehei. And Gneiv is only a part of that. That is not a davar shalim in context of the din Torah, the tvia, the taina. And what exactly is the answer of our Gemara? That there's a world of difference between Gneiv as opposed to Shana Rishona. In the case of Gneiva, L'chuli Alma, that's considered to be a case which is a davar shalim, both according to the Chacham as well as according to Rabbi Akiva. The machlokis is when it comes to Shnei HaChazaka. Why exactly is that the case? No, in Svara, very simply. When Rabbi Akiva said that nafkamina of Peros is irrelevant, that's because it's true that you demonstrated that Eidus has some meaning, but it was an unrelated meaning. Maybe worse, that meaning was at odds with the Haggadah Eidus. The purpose of the Eidus was to affirm that he is the Baal HaSadeh, and you're going to tell me that this Eidus is called the Davar Shalim because it will generate the Chiyuv Peros if he is not the Baal HaSadeh. That is not considered to be Davar Shalim Ba'oso HaMizgeres in the related context. That's a far cry from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is dealing with Gneva and Tvicha and Mechira. There, Rabbi Kiva will admit, of course that's considered to be that which is a davar shalim. The Eidus of Gneva and Tvicha is not unrelated, it is not at odds with the Diyun, Karen and Kefil are part of Dalet Vehei. In addition to Karen and Kefil, there's a further chiyuv to add twice and three times as much if Tabach Umachar. That Rabbi Kivega writes, of course that's, Rabbi Kiva writes, that certainly is considered to be a Dabar Shalmi. That's not considered to be that which is at all at odds or unrelated to the Tvi itself. If there's a hemshich between the Eidus Rishon and Yisachron, well, of course Rabbi Kiva writes that that is considered to be a Dabar Shalmi, it's not a Chatzi Dabar. But if you have to invoke some extraneous nafkamina, that Rabbi Kiva writes, that's considered to be a Chatzi Dabar. You understand very well that the same is true then, as our Gemara says, of Kidesh Ubal. Kidesh establishes that there's an Isser of Eishas Ish. That's what Kidesh does. She is an Eishas Ish. And Baal establishes that there is a Chiyuv of Eishas Ish. You can argue that those are unrelated nafkamina. Of course that's considered to be a single hemshech. Of course that's the case. And therefore, in that instance, Rabbi Kiva is going to argue that's considered to be a Dabar Shalmei. It is not considered to be that which in any shape or form is considered to be Chatzi Dabar. So everyone agrees, the way the Rif understands, that it's necessary that the Eidus HaRishon be meaningful in order to be called the Dabar Shalmei. The question is the extent of its meaning. Its relevance in a different context, unrelated to the Din Torah, is that enough to generate and to argue this is called the Dabar Shalim, or is it not? According to the Chachamim, yes, Achilas Peros is sufficient. And according to Rabbi Kiva, no. It has to be that which relates directly in order to label it as that which is Dabar Shalim. So therefore one could argue as follows, that as long as the Eidus HaRishon is considered to be a Dabar Shalem, that allows the second Eidus to be called the Dabar Shalem as well, because the first Eidus is relevant, it's admissible, it's a Dabar Shalem, and now the Chiyuv is created, clinched, Ayid Eidus Achron. If you were to argue that that initial Eidus is only a Chatzi Dabar, that would rend the second Eidus is Chatzi Dabar as well. Therefore, it could not be used. This is relevant as well, this biur, to the Ha'ar of the Balamor. If you look at the Balamor in our Sugya, Dab Chav Zayin Mabez and Dab Beharif, the Balamor quotes the Rif, the relevance of Peros, Balamor just raises the following question, that according to the Rif, in order for Eidus to be significant, it must mean that it creates an independent chiyuv. Everyone agrees that's true. See, the Balamor will have a very different understanding. What is called a chatz Eidus as opposed to Eidus Gamor? What Tosus mentions. Right? Did you witness everything that you were capable of witnessing? Very different numbers. According to the Rif, it just simply means, right, is the Eidus considered to be a Dabar Shalim in the sense, is it meaningful? Would it result in a Chiyuv at all? And everyone agrees that that's critical. The Machlokes Rabbi Kimna Chaim is more, in terms of detail, that how relevant does that Nafkamina have to be? But everyone agrees that the Eidus itself has to be able to create a Chiyuv, to create a Chalos. So the Balamor writes, if that's true, that's the Rif's understanding, that you require some application, some nafkamina, some tokif to the Eidus. And this is true according to everyone, even according to the Chachamim. And the only reason it's considered to be a good Eidus according to the Chachamim is because of Achilas Peros. Otherwise we call the Chatzi Dabar. So the Balamor now raises the following kasha. Oh, Sal Kedai Tech Lemeimar, Leimas Nisim Deloka Rabbi Akiva. Our Gemara suggests that isn't our mission against Rabbi Akiva? Why? Because Eidus of Gnev and Tvicha is called a Chatzi Davar. Why is it called a Chatzi Davar according to the Rif? Because it doesn't manifest itself. So the Balamah writes in Cain, Af Kirabana no asim asnisim. Da Eidus Tvicha lab Eidus ulimidi. According to the Rif, if Eidus means that which independently is meaningful, means the Eidus has a mashmaos, a tokev, lahalacha, that it can create a particular chiyuv, so the Balamor writes, why does the Gemara phrase the kasha of Leim Masis Mok Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva and the Chanan agree that Eidus must be relevant, it must be meaningful, it has to create a chiyuv independently. They argue about a detail, an important detail, but a detail of how relevant to our din Torah does that nafkamina have to be. Can you pull something out of a hat, achilas peros? Or does it have to be that which complements the chiyuv at hand? But everyone agrees, even according to the Chachamim, that Eidus has to be independently real. So you know what the Gemara should have asked? That our mission is against everyone. That's the Balamor's kasha. Our mission doesn't fit according to anybody. Even the Chachamim agree that Eidus has to be independently complete, the Davar Shalem. The Chachamim also agree to that. The Chachamim happen to argue that any given year is complete in terms of Peros. So the Balamor writes, the Gemara should have asked a very different kasha. And that is that our mission does not fit according to anybody. Ben the Rabbi Akiva, ben the Chachamim. Because if even the Chachamim require that you have to have a Davar Shalem, the Chachamim are just a little bit more liberal in terms of understanding a Davar Shalem. It can even be an unrelated Davar Shalem, but it has to be an independent Eidus. So how is Eidus of Tvicha considered to be Eidus Shalem? That's the Balamor Sarfim. The Gemara is going to answer, because A is complete, B is also complete. Yeah, but that should have to address even the sheet of the Chachamim as well. Well, that's the Balamor's question. So take a look at this piece in the Balamor. Right, we'll have to answer this. According to this approach, you'll see how the answer, right, is very clear. Right, that if you assume that one chiddush we mentioned in the very beginning, that Yakum Davar does not mean that the entire Sipur HaMaisa has to be Ba'oso HaEidim, but rather it means Mekayme Davar, Yakum Davar. So then one could argue that the fact that the Chiyuv is clinched Al Yedei Eidim HaAchronim, that itself is considered to be a Davar Shalei, as we began. The only problem is that can only occur if you can consider the initial cut. Your consideration of that initial cut is only if they are considered to be a Davar Shalem. If that's a Chatzi Eidus, so therefore those facts are inadmissible. So take a look at this point, and then take a look at the Kilus Yaakov and Sanhedrin Simon Yud Zayin. Kilus Yaakov is bothered by a further issue in terms of the Rif. And that is, how do you have a tziruf of the Kat Rishon, Kat Sheni, Kat Shlishi? The Kat Rishon, how is that relevant? When it comes to Peres, right? It's considered to be a Davar Shalem, the Rif writes, because of Peres. Okay. And how is the Kat Sheni relevant? When it comes to Peres. If you can't prove your case, so then you're going to have to pay the Baal Hasada Peres for the second year as well. And how is the Kashlishi relevant? For Peros. What exactly does that mean? No? The Katari is shown, I understand. If you didn't prove that you had it all 3 years, you're going to have to Peros for year one. If you didn't prove for year three, you're going to have to Peros for year one, year two. So you're going to tell me that the Kashlishi is considered to be an independent Eidus because what? In terms of establishing Shnei HaChazaka, he can't do that alone. No, but it's a meaningful Eidus in terms of Peros. What exactly does that mean? Even if you don't establish the chazaka, you'll have to pay peros. If you will accept his edus that he was ochel peros during the third year, that's it. No, so he's the bala son, he's the mochsan. And if you're not going to accept his edus, it's still relevant for achilas peros. Right, is that possible? That's what the Kiddush Yaakov discusses. That the rifs nafka min of achilas peros is very reasonable for one and two. Now, how exactly does it fit in terms of the third set of edim that come? You would accept their edus for achilas peros even if it's a chatzi davar in terms of shnei achazaka? Does that really make sense in that case? So the psak halacha would be is that you're not a mukhsa, but you have to pay peros for your one, your two, your three. Can that be? Let's take a look at that point that the Kiddush Yaakov has. So far, take a look at that, the Tosus, the Rif, Balamor, and Ramban. Right, then we'll have to continue developing this issue of Chatzi Yedus.